Namaskaram, Swagatam, and good evening to viewers in India and viewers listening from all over the world. Today, we are going to discuss about the just concluded G20 summit. We have Dr. Swami and Dr. Arvind Chaturvedi with us. We just want to, the topic of the day, as I said, is G20 summit, a reality check. We're going to hear from Dr. Swami about his views on the summit, and then we will open it up for Q&A discussions and some questions from the audience as well. Viewers, please post questions that are relevant to the topic. It makes it easier for us, because I know there are a lot of questions that come in that are not related to this. So if you have a question specific to this, then we can pick it up. Otherwise, we have to ignore them. So without much delay, Dr. Swami, it's over to you to give your views on the just concluded G20 summit.
Yeah. Well, you correctly said that to give my views, because my views are not what I would call as the mainstream views as judged by the media in India today. What I would like to do is take out some things where the people of India have been deliberately misled, and that the people must know the actual position. Whether they still don't change their mind or change their mind, that's up to the people. But I would like, first of all, some facts to be placed, which I believe is come out in a distorted way in the
media.
You're
a professor, Dr. Swami. So you have to give us the other perspective as well, so that when we read something, we also get another perspective, so that we get a balanced view.
Yeah, I'm a theorist, so I have a point of view. If I was a mathematician, I have no alternative. There's only one way. Now, you see, the issue is the question of reality. First, let's get into the reality question, because there's so much bogus nonsense that has been put out in our media. It's actually sickening. So I don't even read most of it, so I'm not that well prepared as I should be. But anyway, let me say, first of all, that G20 country, the word G20 means 20 countries. And of them, one of them is not a country, it's the European Union. The others are 19 countries. And now it's going to increase because we have brought in an African Union also, which is also an organization. And so it'll become 21. And maybe more countries might be brought in later. But at the moment, there are at least about another 15 countries which are come as not as members, but as to from inside, see the proceedings. So the names of the countries I won't read out. There, you know, it's Argentina, Latin America. There are only two countries: Argentina and Brazil, like that. You know, in India, Pakistan is not there, but India is there. So on. Those are things which you can get from any Google. Right. The reality issue is that, first of all, the whole place I'm going, wherever I'm going in India, people are saying, aren't you happy that Narendra Modi got elected as the G20 body? There was no election at all. It was by turn by turn for of the 19 countries, and of course, including EU, would be 20 countries. So therefore, to say Modi was elected, Modi is not even a member of the G20. India is a member, and he happens to be the prime minister. If he wasn't prime minister, they wouldn't even let him enter without a pass. So the question is, the whole country is being made out as if it's just Modi has been elected as the president of the whole world, and India has now become a Vishwa Guru, blah, blah, etc. All these things are going on, and nobody's even daring. I know there are a lot of scholars in our country, and they can easily contradict this, but they are not. There are not all newspapers they can contradict, but they are not contradicting. So first of all, let me make it very clear that the choice of president is alphabetically chosen according to the country. So the country's head of government then becomes the individual who represents that position. So when you start from A, Argentina, and then go all the way, and finally end up somewhere in Y or Z or whatever is the country's name. So each of them, the head of government is then taken as the individual who's representing it. So Modi had nothing to do with an election, nor was he, if he was not Prime Minister of India, he wouldn't even be allowed entry into that, to the proceedings. So this one thing has to be very made very clear. Modi's victory to become the president and all, it's abhutpurva, as they say in Hindi, it's not so. It's India's turn by serial order. And it would have been earlier, it would have been 2 years earlier. It would have been 2 years earlier. And if in the 2 years earlier, alphabetically we were to do it 2 years earlier, but Modi said, no, I've got corona, this problem, that problem. Everybody had corona, by the way, and therefore I can't do it now. But actually, he has timed it such that it comes in the election year. So then from now on, this will be for the next 3-4 months a matter of discussion. Now, the second thing is that everywhere says that India was the first time, as mentioned, said, this is Vasudeva Kutumbakam. That is, this gathering is Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Actually, the G20 itself rejected this. And why did they reject it? For a very strange reason, for which we have to thank Jawaharlal Nehru. And that is that in Hindi or Sanskrit are not recognized as as official languages of the United Nations. Only 5 languages are recognized, including China, Chinese, and French, etc. I think Security Council members' languages are recognized as United Nations language. So therefore, the question of addressing it as in Hindi and translating it into other languages, that it was rejected outright. It shouldn't have been raised. Anybody with little knowledge of our United Nations procedures would have known that we should never have made any demand for Hindi or Sanskrit to be the language for the conference with translations put in, because we had no status for it. The status we lost when Jawaharlal Nehru gave up rejected the invitation to become a permanent member of the UN Security Council with veto, in place of China, because at that time China had just become a communist country and everybody was against them. So they said, no, the Chinese seat, which should be Chinese seat should be given to the Indians. And because at the time in 1945, when India's name was proposed, when it was being formed, Winston Churchill said, no, India cannot be a part of the United Nations as United Security Council member, as a permanent member, because it's a country which is a slave country. It is under Britain, and therefore it cannot. So therefore, they picked up then Chiang Kai-shek's China. So now, let me make it clear, Modi had nothing to do with being the chairman of it. He was the Prime Minister of India, so he was the chairman. And nothing to do with getting India to host it, because it was India's turn, alphabetically. So this is the first point I'd like to say. Now, and then, of course, the second point, all this Vasudeva Kutumbakam, etc., is very well known that India, Hindi or Sanskrit are not languages that can be used on behalf of any United Nations organization. So now I come to the next point. The forum is not an official forum. It's just a forum. It's not a part of the United Nations, charter or anything like that, like the economic and social United Nations for social and economic issues. That's a separate branch. That's part of the United Nations. It's not there because it's not there in the UN Charter. So here, this is a resolution that was passed in one of the conferences earlier. And the real body with power in it is the 7-member body of G7, as it's called, in which the 5 members of the United Nations plus two organizations. These form a thing, and India is not a member of that. India is never going to be invited for that. The way we are going, India has a right. It's the largest populated country in the world, and it should have been. And it's a nuclear power. It should have been a member long ago, and we were to be a member long ago. But Jawaharlal Nehru said, no, this is a imperialist trick to divide us and China, blah, blah, all that, and gave it up. And the Chinese finally got it in 1971. So let us be very clear. Now, there is no doubt that this time, by the word consensus, please go and read the word consensus in a legal dictionary or in a general Oxford dictionary, any of these well-known dictionaries. It does not mean a resolution has been passed. All that it is in that the maximum concurrence was on this. If I say that I like a cow, and the other man says I like a cow and because I want to kill it and eat it, now they're not two same positions. But if I say I like a cow and the other man says yes, I also like a cow, but the reasons are different, but we still have a consensus, both likes cow, both like cows, so therefore consensus is being passed. Oh, great achievement. Modi has done what doesn't go. Why didn't it happen before? Because last time in Indonesia, the United States was insistent with its allies that the Ukraine issue, which, Russia was a aggressor. It crossed the established boundary lines of Ukraine and has committed a host of human rights violations, etc. So they raised it, and there was a vote, and and the vote led to a discussion that why should we have a vote? Just don't have it. So it was dropped. So therefore, the question of why did they consensus? Because they didn't want to have it dropped. And what is the big deal in that? What is a great achievement? Nothing. There's no progress in this. Anytime this can happen. If you don't mention words like Russia is an aggressor, you can have a consensus. So that consensus is a starting point for the next conference, perhaps, but that's about all. So this is another fraud that is being committed on the Indian people. Oh, the consensus, and last time we didn't have, this time we did. Last time there was no consensus at all to discuss. There was only a question of vote, and then the vote went against the United States, so it was dropped. So this is the next point that I would like to make. Now, I would like to get to some concrete issues which are not being discussed in our media, and I think people should know. There are six agendas that were framed by a committee of experts, and they included many important new ones, like the women's development. Women's development was a major introduction that was there this time. And global climate, of course, continues there. And there were several working groups set up. Agriculture, for example, was not given the importance. So the Greenpeace group has condemned this whole conference as a bunkum and what they call as a incomprehensible failure on the part of the conference. So they said the whole world has welcomed it. It's not so. There are vested interests who have condemned it in very, very strong terms. What then are the outcomes that I would like to emphasize, and then Arvind can take over. One is that we have now got African Union, also along with the European Union. So Africans have also come in as a union, African Union, not as individual countries, but as a group, it's a semi-United Nations type of thing. The second thing is there's been a new alliance created called Global Biofuel. So biofuel funds that that's a new investigation that need to be done for getting new fuel systems and so on in the future. So this is another thing that I would say, this what I've witnessed in the recent few days, the kind of lies that have come across the media, the kind of lies that have been published as op-eds in newspapers, it's absolutely sickening because it's the world must be, if they are seeing it, they will laugh at it. But more than us, all of us are being misled deliberately. It sounds like something like, not in other terms, but in this specific terms of propaganda, it sounds very much like Nazi Germany, if you ask me. I'm not talking about all the horrible things that Nazi Germany did. That's not happening in India. But I'm saying that this is this attempt to control media and then, squeeze them so that they say, ouch, and do what you want them to do. This is a very classic case of, I think it may be because you want to win an election on this kind of fraud, but we cannot tolerate it. This kind of thing has been happening regularly with Mr. Modi. It almost seems to be a kind of infection he's got from somewhere. For example, in 2019, he said that in 5 years, I will double GDP to $5 trillion. Now, that anyone who knows a little economics or even has a little algebra knows that when you double something, the growth rate is 15% per year. If you grow at 15% per year, then you double in 5 years. So if you're going to say I'm doubling the GDP from $2.5 trillion of India to $2.5 trillion to $5 trillion, then you have to grow at 15% per year. And so that of course has not happened so far. And there's no plan that has come forth before the country to say that this happened. Then agriculture, in 4 years, we will double. That's even worse. I mean, that takes you to 24% per year. And that also went in the media, headlines, all that, and all seminars, all that rubbish went on. But you do notice one thing with Mr. Modi, that he began in the first year when he addressed the Red Fort. He talked about Vikas. Now he doesn't talk about Vikas because they may defend and say, no, we are going at 9%, 10%, the United Nations saying this, and World Bank is saying this, or some other agency saying that. They all rely on Indian data. And Indian data, I have not been given a copy. I mean, I see in the newspapers the ministers all shooting their mouths without telling me what is the base year that you have accepted? What is the what are the items that you have included in the price index? All this, they won't give it. In those days, previously, we used to get it all in booklets, but now we don't even get access to it. So I don't know what the growth rate is, but if I was asked as an economist, use your econometrics and all that and try and project what it is, I would say we have not exceeded 4% growth rate in the last 5 years. So not 9%, 10%, 8%. Amit Shah starts with 8.5%, then everybody starts cutting, and then finally the World Bank says it, or somebody else, some foreigner says it's 6%, and everybody then beats the drum, says, oh, 6% is more than what China has got. Now, who cares what happens to China? We want to know what our growth rate. Of course, we need a growth rate of 10% per year. That is possible, but these people don't have the policies for it. Now, the vast thing, the thing that we should have raised, and that would have got kudos, or certainly would have got kudos, to raise the issue of the absence of China in this conference and say, we have been keeping quiet all this time. China has occupied 4,064 square kilometers of Ladakh, not in Arunachal, as before we used to scream about. there's a line of control, which during Narasimha Rao's period, I helped Narasimha Rao period to draw it. A line was drawn. It is a new line. It is not the old boundary of Aksai Chin and all that stuff. That new line said that the land on this side will be in the control of India and the land on that side will be in the control of China. But that does not mean that India owns all this and China owns all that. Those are things we sit down and work out. And we had worked out that the whole of Ladakh is a part of India. There's no dispute on the whole of Ladakh. In fact, we drew the line deliberately so that India is no disputed land of China. And the only discussion that was going on is the part where China had occupied our territory, and that discussion was going on. So we have just completely given up. Not a word. Why can't they say? Why couldn't the Prime Minister say, we are very sorry that our neighbor who is not present here, would I like to have him to be the president, Prime Minister or President to be present here. And I would like to have to, you know, brought to his notice that we are a friendly country of the Chinese, we are Asian people, but behind, after 18 meetings with me, Xi Jinping has ordered his army to cross into India and take over 4,064 square kilometers. That would have been bravery. But Mr. Modi tucked his tail and ran. And that is a shame on India, according to me, that we are putting up with the Chinese and their aggression in this manner. What will the world think? These are the most populated country in the world, and we are behaving as if we don't want to, you know, it's like, I know many crude examples. If a woman gets molested, she wants to hide the fact that she's been idle because, you know, her name gets spoiled by this. So you're like that. You're afraid that if we acknowledge the Chinese have crossed and we are not being able to throw them out, we may lose our international masculine stature and all that. I don't care, but the Indian territory is our Bharat Mata's territory and it's been taken over. The Chinese have to be evicted. If we need to make allies, we should make allies for that. We should show at least the courage that the Ukrainians have shown instead of that pretending as if nothing has happened. That is the worst part of this conference, that the Prime Minister didn't have the guts to stand up and say to the Chinese, who's I think foreign minister or somebody was present, to tell them that you have done enough to break this G20 because you have clandestinely occupied our territory, which was against all agreements we have had in the past. That he didn't do, and that alone, in my opinion, I think the whole country should bring Mr. Modi to book on. Thank you very much.
अरविंद जी आप पहले जाइए हिंदी में आप प्रश्न पूछने के लिए
ओके सर सबसे पहले तो मैं आपसे जानना चाहूंगा सिंस वी आर डूइंग ए रियलिटी चेक जो वास्तविकता है जो वास्तविकता हमें बताई नहीं गई तो उसी परिप्रेक्ष्य में पूछना चाहूंगा चाइना के शी जिनपिंग क्यों नहीं आए क्या वास्तविक कारण क्या था आपको शायद ज्ञात होगा आप जरूर इस पर प्रकाश डालेंगे
अगले महीने वो अपना सेना को और जगह में भेजने वाले हैं इंडिया में और उस समय उसकी ध्यान आकर्षित हमारे तरफ यानी इस कॉन्फ्रेंस में वो नहीं चाहते थे वो नहीं बहिष्कार तो नहीं किया उन्होंने उनका फॉरेन मिनिस्टर को भेजा है
चाइना क्या उनको ये डर था सॉरी कहीं उनको ये डर तो नहीं था कि शायद डिक्लेरेशन के अंत में रशिया को कंडेम किया जाएगा यूक्रेन बार के लिए और चाइना इसके लिए तैयार था
नहीं नहीं ये कॉन्फ्रेंस शुरू होने के पहले ही तय हो गया था सारे ऑफिसर्स की मीटिंग्स हुई और ये पहले ही तय हो गया था
और चीन ने वसुदेव कुटुंबकम के नाम पर भी आपत्ति उठाई थी स्लोगन के ऊपर भी आपत्ति उठाई थी
उन्होंने ये कहा कि यूनाइटेड नेशंस की 5 ऑफिशियल लैंग्वेजेस है उसमें ना हिंदी ना संस्कृत है तो हम ये नहीं एक्सेप्ट कर सकते उनका तो विधि अनुसार बात तो सही थी नहीं चाइना का
इंग्लिश इंग्लिश ट्रांसलेशन आल्सो वन वर्ल्ड वन फैमिली सम समथिंग
नहीं नहीं वो तो ठीक है ना इंग्लिश में तो इंग्लिश इज वन ऑफ द एक्सेप्टेड लैंग्वेजेस ऑफ 5 उसमें हो गया ना तो मैं कहता हूं कि हम हर बात पर चाहे चीन पहले तो चीन का मस्का कर रहे थे, अब हर बात पर हम विरोध नहीं कर सकते। उन्होंने ये तर्क दी और इस तर्क को सबने मान लिया था, तब हम लोगों ने कहा अच्छा ठीक अंग्रेजी में देंगे।
A large number of people are also saying that the world leaders are not given free chance to interact with the media. When media wanted to ask questions, media को अनुमति नहीं दी गई कि वो सबसे सवाल पूछे, especially अमेरिका के राष्ट्रपति जो बाइडेन, वो भी कहा जाता है कि नाखुश गए हैं क्योंकि उनको प्रेस से बात करने की अनुमति नहीं दी गई या प्रेस को अनुमति नहीं दी गई उनसे बात करने की।
देखिए एक तरफ से मैं कहूंगा कि इनको मीडिया को सवाल पूछने की क्या इन्हें क्या फायदा होगा, क्योंकि वो तो छापने वाले नहीं है, तो ये क्या दूसरे देशों को जासूसी के लिए इनको जानकारी लेनी है। तो परंतु ये कहने के बाद मैं ये कहूंगा कि इन्होंने तो प्रेसिडेंट बाइडेन को भी नहीं प्रेस को एड्रेस करने के लिए दिया, और बाइडेन गया एक दिन पहले छोड़कर कॉन्फ्रेंस को, जो आपका अखबार किसी ने रिपोर्ट नहीं किया, और वहां जाकर यानी हनोई में उन्होंने प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस करके कहा कि मुझे इंडिया में बोलने नहीं दिया। तो आज मैं बता रहा हूं कि इंडिया का जो माइनॉरिटीज का प्रॉब्लम है, जो इकोनॉमिक का प्रॉब्लम है, ये प्रॉब्लम है, वो प्रॉब्लम है, सब उसने बताया, उसको भी छापने नहीं दिया हमारे देश में। एक अखबार तो मैं बहुत अच्छी तरह घनिष्ठ परिवार जैसे उसको जानता हूँ, उन्होंने कहा मुझे, हम लोगों को तो पहले ही कहते हैं कि उसने वो प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंस कर रहा है वहां, जो भी कहेगा उसका एक लाइन नहीं छापना है।
अच्छा
और नहीं छापा। आपने कभी देखा कहीं देखा कि बाइडन ने ये कहा वो कहा वो इंडिया के बारे हनोई में? नहीं।
Yeah, of course his statement in Hanoi was reported, but not about India. That part was not actually.
That is what I mean.
Yeah.
वो बहुत अच्छा, वो diamond बहुत अच्छा है, और वो केला वहाँ अच्छा मिलता है, ये सब हमें क्या उससे संबंध है?
Oh, one small question is also about the expenditure incurred.
4,500 crores.
But this part that does not include the expenditure done by the nation NCT government in Delhi, because one of the ministers, Saurabh Bharadwaj, told publicly that they've asked for some funds from the central government to be spent on beautification of Delhi to welcome the guests, but no money was sanctioned, and therefore entire NCT government from different departments, they spend on their own. So 4,000 is only the central government which they have admitted, but some part which has been spent by Delhi government, that is not included, number one. Number two, you had also issued a statement about vendors not being permitted to do their daily business. जो खुदरा व्यापारी हैं, उनके दुकानें जबरदस्ती कुछ रूटों पर बंद कराई गई, मेट्रो ट्रेन रोकी गई, छोटे जो रेड़ी पटरी वाले दुकानदार खोमचे वाले हैं, उनका 3 दिन का बिजनेस बिल्कुल बंद हो गया, काफी इस पे रिस्ट्रिक्शन लगाए गए।
ये वो तो है ही, मैं ये कहता हूँ कि ये जो 24 या 23 मीटिंग्स जो हुए हैं G20 का, उसका एवरेज ले लीजिए, इट इज $375 मिलियन। ये कहा इन्होंने 4,000 बिलियन डॉलर्स में पहुंच गए? ये क्यों? वो देश में तो ज्यादा इन्हें मुद्रास्फीति ज्यादा है, और हमारी जो डॉलर है कितना, 80 या 82? हाँ वो तो नकली है, हम सही इसमें करेंगे तो किसी करेंसी का जो है 7-8 रुपया से ज्यादा नहीं होना चाहिए। यानी आप यहाँ एक मैकडोनल्ड में जाकर एक पिज्जा खाइए, वो वही क्वालिटी होगी जो अमेरिका में खाओगे, तो परंतु आप डॉलर और रुपी के आधार पर करोगे तो $1 = $7 बट आप फिर इट विल बिकम डिफरेंट
यस
सो दिस इज थिंग यू सी तो ये सारे अज्ञान का फायदा उठाते हैं और जो पढ़े लिखे लोग हैं उनको तो पास में आने नहीं देते जो एग्जाम में फेल हुए हैं या जवाहरलाल नेहरू यूनिवर्सिटी जैसे जगह में अब तो थोड़ा जवाहरलाल नेहरू यूनिवर्सिटी सुधरने लगा जो नया प्रिंसिपल आई वाइस चांसलर आई है तो परंतु जब ये सारी कम्युनिस्टों के प्रभाव था वहाँ तो ऐसे लोग आज मैं देख रहा हूँ कि ऐसे लोग यहाँ आज सरकार के मंत्री बने हैं सलाहकार बने हैं स्पोक्समैन बने हैं और वो कभी डिबेट नहीं करेंगे मैं कहता हूँ मैं डिबेट करने के लिए तैयार हूँ मैं तो पार्टी का आदमी हूँ तो तुम्हें क्या प्रॉब्लम है हमारे साथ वार्ता करने में बट वो भी नहीं करेंगे लोगों को गुमराह करके जैसे स्टालिन करता था रशिया में और या सोवियत यूनियन में और या हिटलर करता था जर्मनी में या किसी तानाशाही जहाँ भी है वहाँ वास्तविकता लोग पब्लिक को पता नहीं होना चाहिए
And Dr. Swami, you also mentioned about the consensus, which actually not in so many words, but you said the consensus is useless consensus because people are saying that even Russia agreed to the final. Now Russia must have agreed because Russia was happy that no condemnation of Russia was done. So naturally Russia will be happy. But what is the real value of this consensus? It is not a part of UN Charter, as you said.
Yes. No.
So there's nothing which is binding on the member countries or for countries which attended as a guest.
No. This is a pure bureaucratic thing. See, what usually happens is the bureaucrats come to a consensus, then they go to their political authorities and say, now you settle amongst yourselves which will be accepted, which will not be accepted, and come to a resolution. That's how it is done. I've been in the United Nations, as you know. I've been minister twice. I know, I've been to many international conferences. In fact, the GATT matter, I was practically the one of the most important negotiators. The Americans were so impressed with the proposals that came. They asked us, me to sit with them and get it done. So I'm familiar with it. I've been also internationally, educated. I know most countries and their background. I'm telling you that when you are a political authority, the consensus is brought to by the officials. And they're saying that this is where we agree, this is where we don't disagree. And so you can't be a bureaucrat and say, okay, I'll delete everything that you don't agree and only put out that which you agree, which is what really happened. That's a laughable thing.
See? Ramesh.
Yep. Thank you, Arvindji. Thank you, Dr. Swami. So, yes. Dr. Swami, I'm going to give you my perspective, what I have read and what my few comments. Plus, I'll pick up some of the questions that people have asked. We've answered. There's one question that I want to ask you anyway. First thing, Dr. Swami, from the way the world perceives, is basically the India has done a good job in how they arranged it. Obviously, spending 4,100 crores. It has to have some result, correct? At the end of the day, the way they've done it, the pompous way, I mean, the grandiose way, people are seeing that. But that is just the outside shell. If you look at what is internal, let's look at this, the agreement that they signed, the came, whatever the resolution that they signed, it's very broad. A lot of the commentary in most of the think tanks across the globe is very broad. They're talking about climate change as one huge, but there are no specifics. It talks about women empowerment, but there are no specifics. Basically, if you do women empowerment, then what are the specifics in terms of infrastructure, protection? Are you still increasing their quality? Those things are not specified. It's very broad. And I think it's obvious that based on these, Biden kind of did not agree and he was not allowed to hold a press conference, which he could have expressed a lot of these things in detail, didn't come out. They have stage managed this in a way that at least from an outer shell part of it, they have done this very well. I mean, India has done a good job. The second part, Dr. Swami, as far as the one of the big announcements on the sidelines, not on the meeting, was the IMEC, India, Middle East, Europe Economic Corridor. This is more like a counter to China, the BRI initiative. But China has about a 10-year head start with the BRI initiative. 2013, they started the Belt Road Initiative. India is trying to propose, along with the US, basically this was started by the US to counter China, but they are just tagged along, that it's going to be the IMEC corridor, saying that from India to the Middle East, it'll be ship and then from the train and all the way into Europe and return. So that's the new corridor that they're talking about from an economic standpoint. One thing huge about this, Dr. Swami, the BRI Belt Road Initiative of China has caused a big chaos for all the countries that are part of it, basically in terms of debt. All these countries are so poor, they're all indebted to China. So we have no clue. Number one, the IMEC is not specific about what is the cost, who's going to bear them. It's going to be a very expensive initiative. So who's going to bear what cost? Obviously, all the countries that are in the middle, I mean, in this chain, who's going to fund them? So one of the questions that has come up is, on the IMEC corridor, what are your opinions, number one? And as I said, I think you already answered the question of, is the resolution binding? You've already answered these things. Now, and the third question, Dr. Swami, what is the benefit of these things for an aam aadmi in India? So these are the three questions that have come up in from the viewers. So I will just hand it back to you.
Well, go backwards. Aam aadmi, you see, there's no question that there's any benefit for him. But okay, he's exposed to, there's no benefit for him here. But he's exposed to the fact that there are so many countries. It's a general knowledge which mm-hmm. is. I don't grudge that. Okay. And you talk about, you say that, you know, they did build a wonderful building, this and that. On the last day, fortunately, it was the last day, it was flooded. Nobody's reporting it.
Yes.
So, I mean, who's responsible for that after spending when the other countries were able to hold conferences, the G20, with one-tenth this price, why was it necessary for India to spend so much? So there's no accounting. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's corruption. I can't say, because none of us are giving any data. So we just don't know. But I do know that internationally, this is the highest ever spent in G20 meetings. Mm-hmm. Why? Let them answer it. You see, they don't want me to challenge me.
You got a valid point. Yeah, you got a valid point. Because, Dr. Swami, while the economy is struggling, kind of this kind of spending, how is that justifiable for a country like India? That does come up.
No, let me put a rider there. You're right, what you said, but I put a rider. That if you are a member and you are holding a conference, then you must spend something to make them feel comfortable. They can't come here with
reasonable. Access. What you're saying is, you're saying spend a reasonable amount.
Yes.
Don't be lavish like this.
Absolutely. So there's no question. I've held conferences. I've held international conferences when I was Chandrasekhar's minister, or I had a minister rank position with Narasimha Rao. I've been involved in these things. I know exactly. But here, this spending is just, I think, will the CAG already has, by the way, in one matter has gone rogue and said that money has been squandered. So I think the CAG should be asked to audit this. If the government has nothing to hide, they should do it. And everybody, all the ministers of our country were standing there like chaprasis, you know. As people who are there at the beck and call of the Prime Minister to do some work. So the question is this glamorization of one person. This is not the job of the Indian people. I mean, you can glamorize yourself as much as you want, as long as you can afford it, but you can't use the people, the tax money, to do this. There was no reason for it. And now, how many conferences can you hold in such a big building? And now you cannot. I don't even know whether you can hold those melas that we used to have in that Pragati Maidan anymore. And even near Arvind's house, they have built another something there. They're not
Yashobhoomi. Yashobhoomi, it was inaugurated today by Prime Minister himself.
Mohammed bin Tulab.
I was just coming to that.
That is Asia's largest convention center.
No, not true.
That is what is claimed. 2100 acres.
I don't want to argue about that, Doctor. The thing is again, there is a bandied about number like some 20,000 odd crores, or there is another number that says
5,400.
No, for this new building, Dr. Swami, I'm talking about this new building. For the fifth, another 5,400 crores was being spent what bottom line, Dr. Swami, when the country is hurting? I do understand, you spend 5,400 crores, it creates employment, but it's again pocketed into one particular area. I mean, you spend money, it is acceptable, but it is not really reaching to the public at the end of the day. That is definitely one criticism, that is there some amount of money, a lavish amount of spending required to conduct a summit like this, given where we are today? Because
that is proved by the fact that the previous conferences were done on
have been successful to the
money, yes. Mm-hmm. There was a grand one in Indonesia. They spent only 1/10.
One more thing, Dr. Swami, from the resolution again, without Putin or Xi being there, I think it was an easier way for India to achieve the consensus, because obviously with Xi, and if Xi Jinping or Putin was here, it would have been a different way. The conference would have shifted into a completely different focus. So in a way, it is a blessing in disguise for Modi, for Xi Jinping and Putin.
I don't call it blessing in disguise. I call it disgraceful. Without their being there, why are you even considering this matter? You see, or ask the Chinese representative, you take a stand. He flatly said, we will not take a stand. So the question is, what do you mean he was lucky and all? We can't run international politics on luck. You have to plan it. If they are not coming, we'll pass it without them and pass it then against them. It is no doubt in anybody's mind that the Russian troops crossed the international line, United Nations accepted line, and went and occupied land of a foreign country, which was established United Nations country. After the Soviet Union broke up, it also broke up, like Russia broke up. How did you do it? You have become a lawbreaker of the international world. That should be the focus.
Okay. So, Dr. Song, one other comment, that because one of the theme of this G20 was women empowerment, and couple of viewers have said, if women empowerment is so big, why did the president of India, Murmu, the honorable president of India, not be invited? Because she is definitely an epitome, because she is one of the first tribal president of a country. Why was she not invited to be a part of this? Or do they not normally invite people, or invite the president? Because this is one of the things.
Why did she go? She went there for some,
dinner?
Dinner.
And she need not go. She said, I should have been asked to inaugurate the conference as the president of our country. But I wasn't given the chance. So I'm not coming.
Because that would have sent a good message about India. I mean, in the sense that...
That's a good message. She was selected because she will oblige in these matters. Same as the man before him who became the president. If you go on choosing such people, I can tell you ministers who crawl before the prime minister, and the officers tell them this is what has to be spoken in parliament, and they meekly speak that. You see, these are things which I have seen in the state of during the emergency, but I never thought I would see it here without an emergency.
And also the opposition leaders, obviously, it is more of a show of strength when his own ministers were not given prominence. I mean, a lot of people are asking, why weren't the opposition leaders asked to come? Yeah. I said, US, you got to understand.
He's the senior most minister, should have been there.
At no, least, yeah, I'll just add to what Ramesh is saying. Khadge was not invited. Congress President Khadge was not invited. He had a grudge against this. They invited some chief ministers. But Delhi chief minister, who was the hosting the city, Delhi chief minister Kejriwal was not invited.
And a lot of people have commented, Dr. Swami, that he was, Modi has been very smart to hold this during the election. But again, whether this will yield results,
I
that is besides
the point. Smart. If you think a crooked way of doing things is smart, then you please have go to Dubai and live there. There's a lot of crookedness going on there with a lot of smartness.
Okay.
And explain this away. You are running a country. It's great for its greatness, for its being an inspiration for the world. Not sneaky, by sneaky methods. You can't do it. If your country is invaded and 4,064 square kilometers is taken away by a foreign country and you're silent, and you say nobody came, and the people are going to lump it, then I think that we need another cultural revolution in India, like the Mao Zedong had in China.
Okay, well, sir. Arvindji, you can conclude.
So I think overall, if you put things together, this summit was used by Prime Minister Narendra Modi to, shine, to get his image built up. And whatever money that was justified or not justified, but of course, this exercise was utilized by him by projecting himself as a Vishwa Guru. In fact, to make a mockery of this, somebody said now, earlier Indonesia was Vishwa Guru, now Modi is the Vishwa Guru. Future mein Bali, Brazil will be Vishwa Guru. So that means Vishwa Guru is equated with the person who hosts the G20 summit. So naturally, this was a joke. And the Prime Minister should not have indulged in politics here. Due courtesy should have been shown to the opposition leader and, as Ramesh said, to the president, who is a lady. And it could have only increased the grace of the program if she was there, if she was invited.
Arvindji, one other point. I think the lack of approach, the press, leave alone the Indian press. But again, that is also, one of the negatives. A lot of people have commented saying that obviously they go to the freedom of press kind of thing. But the lack of interaction, being allowed to have press conferences and all those things, has created a bad impact on this, because it is not free. When you have a global summit and you're not allowing the press to cover it fully and freely, that also puts a big dampener on it.
Yeah, that allegation has been there with this government for several years now. Second is why Modi, Prime Minister Modi ji, is not addressing press conferences directly even before this G20 summit. He should have
had. That's never going to happen. Arvindji, you and I know, and this entire country knows, you and I in the world knows, that Modi will never address a press conference. He cannot. I think we have to come to that reality, and because that, I don't think he can ever face impromptu questions, because it needs to be factored in. The answers need to be on the teleprompter or whatnot. He just cannot take, because it's not what it is. It is not his strength. He has zero capability to address any questions.
I don't agree that you should factor it in. If you can't do that, don't be Prime Minister. Become a general of the Indian Army. You'll have more obedience also from people. Why should you be a Prime Minister for a democratic country?
Well, Dr. Swami, India is not Pakistan.
I know it's not Pakistan. It'll never be Pakistan. I have one who fought for India not being Pakistan in 1974, 75, 76.
Arvindji, sadly, the Indian media also being alleged to be called Godi media.
Yes.
Even then, Modi is not addressing them, which is a sad fact. And they could throw some soft questions, when were you born? How did you make tea? These questions can be asked of Modi, which he knows very well. But unfortunately, even that is not allowed. Modi is afraid that somebody might sneak in and ask him a tough question, saying that, you know, why is the Indian economy not growing? Anyway, Arvindji, conclude. We are close.
Okay, just to make a further comment on what you said about Godi Media, India Alliance, for the first time in history of India, at least I know, the media selected anchors have been boycotted now. India Alliance has decided, they have named 18 anchors of the television channels. And these channels, they said, these channels and these anchors, entire alliance partners will boycott these anchors because they are partitioned and they are biased. So this is also happened first time. I mean, media is of course divided ever in different countries, even USA, the media is divided. But this boycott is and public boycott, it has happened for the first time, which is a bad comment on the Godi Media or the management of the.
No, this India Alliance means the one that has been formed recently, that one.
Yes, 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 India Alliance.
Is that put out by India Alliance or by Congress Party by itself?
They had a meeting of the coordination committee. In that meeting, it was decided. It is just 3 days back. So a proposal came from Congress. But the coordination committee approved of this.
Good.
And which is, that's what I'm saying, it's a bad commentary on management of media by the government, center government. Thank you, Dr. Swami. Yeah. It was such an important topic. And only one-sided projection was being made about the all the achievements that have been made. The reality was not known. And it was very timely that Words of Wisdom decided to have this topic. A reality check on this. And as Ramesh mentioned, media was also not honestly reporting it. Media was fed whatever it was fed, and only that was actually published or shown on electronic channels. And therefore, it was very important for us to even discuss that what was the reality and was there any real achievement. Whether the money was spent was worth it or not, that again, maybe history will say, but the results will be known. But India's image has improved. That was the claim by the government. And I think more of the Prime Minister's image was improved, or at least it was an exercise in improvement of the Prime Minister's image, the way it was conducted. Because no other country, this was the 18th such meeting of G20 summit, and no other country had given such hype to this kind of meeting. Thank you, Dr. Swami, for putting it in clear words. And thank you, Ramesh, for hosting the program. Thanks to the technical team led by Ashish, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Tejas Navalgul, Swaminathan, Ajesh Mehta, and the Vishal. Thank you very much, all the technical team. And as before the program, Swaminathan was saying that your last program was viewed by 6 lakhs people so far. Which is a record by itself. And I'm sure if this kind of open, frank views are expressed by us, naturally, the viewership is also catching up. And people are interested in knowing the real facts behind the scene, whatever it is. Thank you very much. We'll be meeting again next Sunday, 8 o'clock Indian Standard Time, with a new topic and Dr. Subramanian Swami. Thank you, viewers. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.